Sight. It awakens us to the present moment, guides us through essential daily tasks, shows us the road immediately ahead, and a future we can only hope to witness. Sight gives us hope, but retinal diseases can take our sight away, along with the hope that goes with it. At Iveric Bio, we see a world where vision is preserved. Our mission is to deliver transformational therapies for people with retinal diseases so they can live with hope in sight. The freedom to drive, the ability to work, the comfort of looking into a loved one's eyes, or the simple confidence to knowingly say, "I see." Iveric Bio. Hope in sight.
This is a Defocus Media production.
This is Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate, a Defocus Media production. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Kate. Rachel, it has been a hot minute.
Yeah, really. We're like a quarterly podcast, which I am here for.
Yeah, I'm okay with. Yeah, we both are just have a lot in our lives at the moment.
Lots going on, big stuff. Kate, you have news.
Yeah. I feel, okay, so I'm going to take a step back for a moment.
Okay.
That's my corporate, okay. That was corporate speak. I apologize. So I live in Wichita, but I grew up in Kansas City. For those that don't know geography of Kansas, that's fine. I don't either. So Kansas City is where the Chiefs are. I live in Wichita, which is 3 hours away. I grew up in Kansas City, which is, again, where the Chiefs are. So my parents actually live down the street from Travis Kelce. So they live like in retirement community, and then you drive down this major road, you go to the next neighborhood, and Travis Kelce is like right there. So I listen to his podcast frequently, and they always go, "New news."
And so new news.
Yeah, and so it made me think of that when you were like, "Kate has news," and I was like, "New news." They're going to probably copyright that, and so please don't sue us. We're just a small time. We're not as cool as you guys. We're not as cool as you guys.
I have something. My practice is in Wyomissing, Pennsylvania, which is the hometown of Taylor Swift. So are we?
And Jason Kelce is right there too. We are connected.
Yeah,
we
are. Yeah, I think we're the it couple, you and I.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, love Taylor and Travis. I think it's great. Yeah. Love that for them. But we're the actual people you should be paying attention to.
We're the real Pennsylvania-Kansas connection.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
I was also born in Ohio. I was born in Columbus, Ohio. I lived there for only like 8 months, so really big Ohioan right here.
Yeah, but you made an impact.
Yeah, I did. Enough that they were like, get out. leave here.
Yeah.
So I'm changing jobs. I'm actually on my week of fun employment right now. So I actually have no job at the moment, which is so cool. But I do have employment coming up. So it's not like I'm just around here for nothing. But I just decided it was time for me to get back into practice. I was ready to go back and ready to return to seeing patients. And so I am, so again, Kansas geography, get excited. So I live in Wichita, Kansas, and El Dorado is just down the way from us. It's not El Dorado, it's El Dorado. We're from Kansas. Mm. We have a El Dorado accent on it. So I will be in El Dorado. So it's a rural practice. It's a part of a broader, bigger group that's in Wichita, but I'll be at that satellite clinic, and I'm really excited. I get to work with
a lot
of kids.
I'm excited for you. So what optometry procedure are you looking most forward to doing again?
Ooh, okay. I know the one that I'm most rusty at, which is BIO, which I'm going to just like make all my friends get dilated in so I can look at their eyes for a while. I think that...
Yeah, totally.
I think the hardest thing is like in school, everybody was used to being just dilated all the time. And now as adults in the real world, they're like, why would you do this to me? So I'll just figure out. But I think that's good. It'll be like riding a bike. It'll just take a couple of times for me to be like, okay, I have the right setup. But
yeah.
I am excited for refraction and retinoscopy again. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's just, I feel magic when I do it.
Okay.
Also excited for, I know it sounds silly, but when you do it every day, you don't realize
the cool stuff
you see.
You're excited for all
of it. Yeah. So I'm excited to be back and doing all the cool stuff. I'm just so pumped. Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited to be back, especially working with kiddos and less travel. When I travel, it'll be for me, which is exciting. I'm definitely going to be missing my coworkers and what I did. Like, I loved it and it was super cool. And I loved the opportunity to be able to do that. But I also know I'm really passionate about when you are ready for the change and ready to be doing something different, like, go ahead and do it and figure it out and get there. And so, once it was time for that change, I did it.
Proud of you. That's so cool. And you can always go back to corporate someday if you feel like it.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the thing is there was always this feeling of like, if you get out, you're never going to get back in. And like, so, okay. Like, then that's not the right one for me.
Yeah.
Like, I've moved so far past that. Yeah. So, yeah.
She's back in, baby. She's back behind the
wheels.
Better
watch out. Yeah. Better watch out. I'm going to diagnose all the things.
Yep.
It's going to be so fun. I'm going to look at so many eyeballs. Mm-hmm. People are going to, I can use all my eyeball jokes and nobody rolls their eyes at me. It's going to be great.
You know what's something funny that I realize? Patients, I've seen a bunch of patients for a few years in a row and they don't know me because they can't see me.
Mm-hmm.
In the room because they're blurry.
Yeah.
So if I see them in public, sometimes people know who I am, but sometimes they have no clue.
Oh, yeah. But there are some patients that probably stick with you more than you stick with them. That happens.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I remember the conversation we had, and they're like, I think I saw someone else last year. It's like, no, that was me.
Yeah.
That was me. I was wearing a mask.
Always am like, it was, especially when practice previously, they were like, yeah, I saw somebody else. And I was like, my first year, they were like, oh, I saw you last year. That was my favorite. It's like, it's my first year of practice. And they were like, oh, I saw you last year. And I was like, actually, physically impossible.
No.
And then.
Maybe in your dreams.
Yeah. And then, or the somebody that you saw for 3 years. And I was like, hey, how are things going? And they're like, I don't think I've ever met you before. And I was like, I know your kids' names. I know you have a dog. Like, how would I know these things unless you were in my exam lane?
Oh, gosh.
Patients be cray.
So what is on the menu today?
Okay, so we're going to have a 5-course meal today.
Oh, my gosh, so many courses. What's the occasion?
Well, we're going to have all these courses because we're going to prioritize what we want to have first, second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Priorities.
Look at that. Ding, ding. How was that? How good was that?
That was good. That's good.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That one kind of, I forgot about it for a second. Again, quarterly, man. I had to like think about it for a second. And so I had to think about it for a second. And so here I am. I'm back. 5 courses. Priorities.
So we're talking about priorities and what to prioritize when you're negotiating.
Yeah, I think.
This is a good one because there's like, there's always 4th years in optometry school getting ready to go on interviews.
Yeah, like this is the time. Like, so I knew it's usually between like November and March that I know most people like accept a contract. Like there's obviously before and after and like timeline. Like this is just like the bell curve, the average 80. People are renegotiating or they're making a move. Like there's just a lot of things around this time that kind of come up. And I think it's easy for us, like when we talk, so like we're definitely going to be like talking about negotiate priorities in negotiation, but like know that you can take any of these principles and apply them to the broader like of like trying to figure out your priorities of life, because sometimes that will come up. But
you kind of have to know your life priorities before you can determine what you
like. I was talking to a friend today, so I have my best friend lives out in North Carolina, and her husband actually introduced them in high school, and they became really good friends in high school, and then they decided to get married, which I appreciate, because then I only, like, it's so much easier when your friends that you're all close with live together in our bed, and, like, you know, so much easier. Like, I appreciate, I'm just thankful for that. So he's looking at a new role and called me today, and he's moving into the healthcare field. So I had just some questions, and it was so interesting because we started talking about priorities. I was like, what means most to you? I was like, we can ask for more money. We can ask for more PTO. We can make sure that you have all these benefits in the right place of what feels right to you. But like, if you don't care about it, like then why waste our breath on it? When I am negotiating about something, I need to feel passionate about it. That's something that I know is important to me. Like, I need to feel passionate about it to be able to negotiate well. So if I don't care, it's not a big deal. Yeah. Like, okay, I don't really care about how many PTO days I have, which I do, but like, I don't care about that as much, baby. That doesn't mean that, like, so if I go and say, oh, well, I want 40 PTO days, but I don't really care to fight for it, it's going to come across and they're going to be like, then why are you asking about this? This feels petty. Like, are you just negotiating just to negotiate? Which I think is fine. Mm-hmm. But like, if you have your priorities and passions behind it, you're going to be able to have a better negotiation. with it there.
Absolutely. I think you're totally right. I think about, do you know the Serenity Prayer?
Yes.
Like, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah.
I feel that way about my work sometimes. It's like, when I first got there, I wanted to change so much about the office. Mm-hmm. And like, culture, ways we did things, and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I could not change some of the things that I wanted to change. So I kind of had to figure out what it would take for me to be okay with that, mm-hmm. like serene with it. And what they can't maximize in like culture and satisfaction and that way, they can definitely maximize in money.
Yeah.
And I had to figure out like, how much is it going to cost them for me to be okay with this nonsense?
Yeah.
And
like when you're like, okay, yeah, I can't tell you how many times like I hear from people. And I mean, I feel like we say it all the time and I see it on Instagram and Facebook and everything. It's like, I don't get paid enough to deal with this.
Yeah, and exactly.
You're like, if I have to deal with this, I better be paid enough.
That's how I feel. And that was like, it's almost like it's not my priority. I guess it is my priority. My preference would be for things to change. But since that's not an option, my number two priority is to get paid as much as I humanly possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess my number one priority is money.
Yeah. No, and I think that's a great place to know, like to know what means the most to you. Like of, I need to be paid well because mm-hmm. that's how I feel value. You know, when we talk about like what that value feels like for me to be at a company in places, is I know that I need to feel valued to be there. And mm-hmm. one way that somebody can show you value is by dollars, by saying like, yeah you're worth a boatload of my income because I believe that you are what I need to be here. And yes.
Yeah. It's like they don't want to lose you, mm-hmm. you meaning me, but they can't give me the number one priority.
Yeah.
So you got to maximize the second priority, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that's where so often in negotiations, like I know you and I lecture across the world, which is actually just a few states in the United States. I think I hear that front and like afterwards and people like, how do I know what to negotiate for? Like, I think that's the thing where people always ask that question. Like, do I negotiate money or PTO or do I negotiate like my non-compete or anything? And I was like, well, what's important to you?
Yeah. What do you want? Negotiate for the thing you want.
Like the same thing with like where you're looking for a job is like you can move to rural Montana and make a boatload of money. Like you can come mm-hmm. to rural Kansas and make a boatload of money because you are the only optometrist in the county. So mm-hmm. you're going to have everybody come to you and you're going to make a lot of money and you're going to be successful. And that's great. But if you're like, I can't be more than 20 minutes away from an airport, like that sucks for you. And so it mm-hmm. doesn't matter what you negotiate because it's not what you want.
Mm-hmm. What about scheduling?
That is so, I can't tell you, like, if I could go back and tell my younger self a couple of things is mm-hmm. one, non-compete, two, days out, so how many days you need to give notice for, and three, scheduling. Because I think those are the three things that you don't realize that are going to impact you a boatload, but really do. Because, like, if you have to see four patients an hour and you're like, I can't do 15-minute appointments. Like, that's just not how I work. That is totally fine. Let's say you're like, I can only do hour-long appointments. That's fine. If that's your priority, that's perfect. That's what you should be looking for. But I don't think we think about that as much. A lot of times we're like, I want a job. I want to see patients. I want to be valued. So a lot of times you'll accept an offer or you'll go somewhere and you'll find something. And you won't ask that question. And that won't be something that you think about there.
Yeah, I guess that's setting out what you're exchanging for, what like services you're exchanging for money. Like mm-hmm. what specifically are they expecting you to do? And can you get that in writing?
Man, priorities are, as my therapist and I say, is mm-hmm. once you know more, you can do more and do better.
Mm.
But you don't know what you don't know, you know? Mm-hmm. So when you're first starting out, let's say you're listening to this podcast because you're about to go negotiate your first contract and you're like, I don't know what my priorities are to negotiate about. you don't know a lot of things, which is fair and fine, because I was the same way. I had no idea. I had no idea to ask about scheduling. I didn't know what that felt like either. I mm-hmm. didn't know 100% because I was used to doing hour-long exams, and I would be at some places where I'd move faster, but it was not a true full-day experience at every place that I would, or mm-hmm. especially at the practice you're at, is going to be different than any other rotation you've ever been on, because it's the practice where you're going to be at, unless you've mm-hmm. been at rotation on that practice. But still, it's going to be different after you have your license, everything. And so you don't know necessarily how everything exactly is going to feel until you get there. And so once you mm-hmm. know, that's when you can make better educated decisions. And I think that's sometimes hard when you're trying to make your priorities and you don't know a ton. So when you're just out of school to 5 years out of school, because we're going to hit our 5th year anniversary of graduation this next May, it's like you're going to have different things at different phases because mm-hmm. of what you know and because of what you've done and what feels right to you.
Renegotiating, it's definitely, you have so much more, like you understand so much more because like you can kind of see where money and you can see the practices priorities. You can see where the money goes because like, for example, let's say they just lost a tech and $30,000-$40,000 right there floating around and work mm-hmm. that you have to cover or that somebody else has to cover. Where's that money going if not to you?
Mm-hmm.
And who's doing that work? Like you can see this money used to be accounted for. Now it's not accounted for. Am I due any of that money? Should we discuss it? Like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Offices priorities will change. I think negotiation, if we wanted to get real philosophical, like negotiation is just figuring out where the other group's priorities are and seeing if you guys can make them match, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like if their priority is to have, you know, whether it's making money, which is usually a high priority for a practice.
That's usually number one.
Yeah. But a lot of times is it patient care? Is it specific patient care, such as peds, such as glaucoma, such as dry eye? Like, mm-hmm. is it getting in and out as many refractions as possible? Is it the glasses, the optical sales? Is it culture? Is it, you know, like you can kind of go down the list and places are going to have something different. Whereas maybe, and so you can see what their priorities are. You have what your priorities are. If your priority is to have, you're like, man, I want to come in and I want to start a whole new section of practice. And the place is like, our priority is to keep doing what we're doing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Then your negotiation isn't going to go well, but let's say the priorities do match of like, they want to do something different and you want to do something different. Then negotiations do go well.
Yeah. It's kind of like, priorities are like what you want. And then negotiation kind of comes down to like, what are you willing to live with? Mm-hmm. So like, you got to know what you want. Okay. So let's say number one, I want money. Number two, mm-hmm. I want 3 days off in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I want any change I attempt to implement to be backed up by management.
Yeah. Because, like, for me, one of my top priorities is to live where I'm at. It's a super low cost of living. My house costs less than my student loans. Like, mm-hmm. low cost living extraordinaire. I want to live, and my husband, this is where our family is where we want to be. So, like, number one for me is where I'm at. Okay. Number two is making money. Number three is flexibility.
Yeah.
Like, those things are very important to me.
Yeah, because I could pick up and leave tomorrow.
Yeah, and you're fine with that. Whereas, like, I know. You can't. Maybe one day that priority is going to change and that's fine. And then I might pick up and move to middle of Wisconsin. Probably not, but it's possible. I don't
Delicious.
Know.
Delicious.
Yeah. Chili. Lots of cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm lactose intolerant, so that might be an issue.
Oh no, you can't go to Wisconsin.
Yeah. No, out of Wisconsin. But you know, like if that priority changes,
mm-hmm.
everything else changes for me.
Yep.
If so, you know, I have a lot of friends that want to become parents, and like that's a goal for Evan and I as well. And mm-hmm. flexibility flips to their number one pretty quickly.
Yeah. Can't that's work what a lot Saturdays. Got to be out to pick up the kids from school. I want to work 7 to 4 or something like that, or 7 to 3.
Yeah. And
8 to 4.
So, hours, flexibility, all of those things is a changes in that priority list. And so then you could show up with a new renegotiation. Mm-hmm. And then you might also feel like where you're at, if they can't offer you flexibility, then maybe that's not it's not where you're supposed to be then, because it doesn't match your priorities.
You know, I was thinking about that, Kate. Like, do you remember in optometry school, we had like negotiation coaches come talk to us and then be like, negotiation will not make them rescind the offer. I don't actually think that's true. And I think you need to be willing to work someplace else.
Yeah, I think that's, well, because I think at the end of the day is when you're negotiating, we say it all the time, is you are learning about the company and the company is learning about you. Like, it's just you're learning
you
more.
You've got to be willing to walk away.
And you've got to know, just like, I mean, if I'm negotiating for, in the room next to me, there is a bookshelf that I negotiated for and I got $75 off of. I know. Ooh. I'm pretty darn cool. You better watch out. And I was willing to walk away. Like, I loved it. Like, I knew that's what we wanted and needed, but like, I was willing to be like, no, I don't need it. Like, this is a nice thing. And so they knew that. And so they also were like, well, we're willing to make things work because we want to meet you where you are. You know, like we want to get rid of these. And so we're willing to meet you where you are because we want to get rid of them. Like, my priority is to have less in stock. Your priority is to take one home. That priority of taking one home is lower than saving money. Like, my number one priority was to save money.
Yeah.
My number two was finding a bookshelf. And number three was figuring out how to get was to buy that specific bookshelf.
Mm.
And so it wasn't a high priority for me.
Yeah.
It was a high priority for them. So they made it work. But let's say you go somewhere and for you, my friend that I was just talking to this morning, he was like, man, the PTO days were not exactly where I wanted them. And it's not make or break, but it's a big deal for me. I was like, so that's what you need to ask about. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, about, he doesn't really care about the benefits. He's like, yeah, the pay's good and I feel comfortable with the pay, but like, I need way more PTO days off for me to be happy. I know a guy, there was, talking to some doctors, that there was a doctor that would make a boatload of money per day. Like, I want you to think about the maximum amount of money that you think somebody could make per day as an optometrist and like double that. It's like insane amount of money that this person is making. And he's like, I just want to make this money. And once I feel burnt out, I work 7 days a week. I make this money every day. And once I feel burnt out, I take a few days off and then I come back. And so that's what they were happy about. That's what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so if that's you, great. You know, like, do it. But that's not me. I could never do that. Like, that flexibility piece is huge for me to be able to feel successful. Mm. So I was like, deal. Like, I will, you know, I'm going to take part-time or a lower hour work and go from that direction.
Mm. You know what might also be a priority to people who don't like negotiating is to not have to negotiate very often. So like, getting raises built into your first contract would probably save you a lot of grief in the future. Like, I have a 5-year contract and I get a this percent raise every year or something like that.
Yeah. I love
5 years
that.
Is a long contract, but
yeah. But you still, and so with that, you can make sure that you're being fairly compensated.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like a huge blow when you come back after 5 years and be like, hey, usually there's a 5% raise every year. It's been 5 years. So let's give me a 25% raise. You have to be like, what?
And you're fired.
Yeah. Like, that feels like so big for them.
Yeah.
And then it also keeps your guys' priorities at the same place where you guys are, you're meeting, you know, meeting in the middle. There's this money, here's this money. So it's like meeting in the middle. And so I think figuring out your priorities sometimes can be hard. And so a couple pieces of advice that people have given me that have helped a lot is, one, think about like your deal breakers. Like, if somebody, you know, like, what would be a deal breaker?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody was like, if somebody said, Kate, you have to work 7 days a week and you have to move to Idaho, that would be a deal breaker for me, right?
Yeah.
So I know, and then I'm like, oh, which one is it? Is it the 7 days a week or is it the Idaho? And for me, it's like both. Like, yes.
Idaho's like, gorgeous, but it's not.
I mean, it's
live.
Great, but it's so far away from where my family is. That wouldn't be something that would be attractive to me.
Yeah.
If somebody said to me instead, like, Kate, you could work 5 days in Kansas City, which is a 3-hour drive away from where I'm at now, or you can work 3 days a week in Kansas City and make as much as you're making now, how does that change? Like, when I'm looking at things, is that as big of a deal breaker for me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's when you kind of reestablish and you look at everything. So I think about like deal breakers, and then I also think about like what makes me happy. Mm. If you enjoy traveling, great. If you enjoy buying nice purses, great. Like you kind of can figure out like what do you enjoy, and that can help influence your priorities on from of like, okay, I enjoy really having nice things, and I don't care how much I work, but I really want some of these nice things. Then you know like, okay, I'm here for the 7 days. I'm here for the money, flexible, you know, all of those things.
What's that? Okay. It's kind of like that Brené Brown core values thing, where if you know your core value and if you know their core value, you can really come to a meeting place. Because my core value, I made my boss do this the first year. Mine is safety.
That is probably feels very scary to say, like, what's a core value of yours?
Yeah. I didn't do it before, like, we negotiated. I did it, like, we were just sitting around the office. I was like, hey, look at this list. What's your number one?
And I think, like, and so I know it does sound great, but it's such a good question.
Yeah.
To be like, where are you in this? So that way I know where we are. I wish I had something that was like, here's how to figure out your priorities.
I think there are worksheets online. I was looking.
There are a ton. I was like, if you Google it, there is something that will tell you.
And look up that core values list, because just pick your number one, and then you'll see how like your life, how it like all fits to your life, because it makes so much sense for me for like, mine to be safety, because like if I don't have safety, I don't have anything. If there's fight or flight, I am flight. One time I was at this house and I'm going to tell a story. So I was doing a play. I was in Rhode Island and we were all staying in this house, all the actors. And it was somebody's house, but they were out of town. And so like we were allowed to use it. But then all of a sudden this person walked into the house and was like, what are you guys doing here? I flew out of the house. I was gone. I was like, I was down the road, because I was like, I'm not going to get mansioned in this house. Anyway, it was just a security guard. Uh-oh. It wasn't a killer, but
he was like, trying to prevent a killing.
If I don't feel safe, I'm out.
Yeah.
I will not be murdered.
I need to go back and view my core values again, because that was, I think that's a huge piece of it. What is important to you? Like, what is these things? And I think it's fair for your priorities to change over time.
Yes.
I think that was something that I didn't learn until later, is that my priorities can change, and that's okay. Because you grow and you change, and so your priorities might change. And if so, and that where you're working, or maybe the organizations you're a part of, or where you live, or who your partner is, or any of those things, that can, once those priorities change, unless that world is ready to be flexible with you to meet you where you're at and to have that those priorities adjust with you, it's not worth it to stick with them.
Yeah, might have to move on. Kate, this was good.
Yeah. Good talk. I have had to do a lot of work on priorities this year as we've been like going through our infertility journey. And so I didn't realize how much they impacted things, but how also, you know, like how much they impacted everything in my life. Yeah. Figure out what feels right to you, which I know feels so vague.
but if you like look at your life, it will reveal itself. Like which of the things that you do because they feel right, or which of the things that you do because you have to do. And if it's something that you're like forcing yourself to do, that's probably a low priority for you. But if you do it willingly, that's a priority for you.
I want you to be aware, too, is that there will be some things in life that you just have to do that are not a priority, such as cleaning my bathroom, which I desperately just need to do, but it's not a priority in my life.
It's low priority for me.
Yeah. And so
I'll spray the shower spray, but like,
I broke my blush. It fell onto our floor and went everywhere.
Yeah.
And we have this like tile that is very porous. And so I need to spend a lot of time scrubbing.
Yeah.
So it's very low priority for me because it sounds like hell. I'll be real honest. It sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Takeaways and action items. What do you got?
Okay. Takeaways. I guess, what are my priorities? What am I putting off?
Yeah. No, I think that's a good one. It's just like my takeaway from this is, do I know my priorities?
Yeah.
And my action item is, if I don't, take some time, figure out my core value. That's my action item. Figure out my core value.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and like, am I prioritizing my priorities? If it's important to me, am I putting that first?
Yeah, exactly. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.